No, he was probably a cool guy to live with.
The serial killer?
Yeah. But when
I mean, he probably didn't bring his work home with him.
No, but what happened if
he's
like...
He did bring a little bit of a project.
Oh, no.
Because when they... When they arrested him in my building, his car was parked there, and there was a woman's body in the back seat. But it was like rolled up in a rug. It wasn't like... It was tasteful.
So he was cleaning up after himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stand By with JJ and Francisco. Hello, how you doing out there? We've got a very special guest this week. You'll recognize her from Comedy Central. She wrote with me on the Jim Jefferies show, and she's currently touring some of the biggest venues in the country with Jim Jefferies. How you doing, Lisa Curry?
Hey, I'm so good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for gracing us, because you also open with Jim,
gracing,
right?
Yeah. Very nice.
Yes.
We haven't
done one together.
Been on a gig yet.
You guys can't go.
I requested. I was like, please, Jim. I'll work with anybody but JJ.
Yeah.
I'm a heavy prankster. I'm a road prankster.
Could it be the hair, like too much of long hair?
Yeah, maybe it's too much hair between the two of us. Yeah. Jim feels self conscious.
Like you got to have one short hair. Yeah.
I mean, come on. I was just on the road with Justin Martindale. Was the other?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Short hair.
Yeah, but he's got
Justin has like the best hair in the biz.
He's got a massive coif.
But it's not long.
Jim does make me wear a bald cap on stage. So that's weird, but I accept it.
Yeah, and it feels threatening because often if you're on stage performing, Jim will be at the side with an electric razor.
And if a joke
misses, you just look over the wings and he's there. Like,
yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Better hit the next one. Well, it's tough. It's tough out there with the gym.
That would be a good motivation, you know?
Just standing there.
We just start crying on stage. No, please laugh at this next bit. It has to go well.
Yeah. Just the sides, please.
Jim standing there with a baseball bat. Like, what's happening? Yeah.
If you give me at least a golf clap, I can save an inch. Please.
Thank you for coming. I don't know if you, JJ, told you about what this podcast is about.
It's like a 60 minutes interview, right? It's super hardcore. Like,
there's a plane, very serious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we only have two mics on the post.
Yeah, because that's just because we're the two of us.
You need five more mics, though.
Then, so I don't know what you can glean from our boarding pass.
Something about travel.
Look.
Yeah. Yes, there it is.
You ever been anywhere?
That's it.
No, just here.
So you grew up in Indiana, right?
I did, yep.
Okay, so that's not just where you call home, because you also went there during the pandemic, right?
I did, yeah. I just threw a tantrum because my landlord wouldn't lower my rent, and I was like, fine, fuck you, I'm out of here.
Right.
And I threw all my shit in storage and went and lived on my cousin's homestead for 8 months.
Oh, wow.
In Wilmington, which was really nice.
Did their cousin know, or like?
I was like, I'm coming
showed
out,
up,
just well, hid away.
I was like, I'm going to come out for a little while, and then I just kept staying.
I never like when people say I'm coming a little while. I always request to be like, I want a time. I don't want people to say a little while and be like, you're staying here 15 days, a month, and
it
so
was,
then.
It was a lot of fun. Like, she has a huge house with an extra bedroom and bathroom, so
that's
it was
not
like,
what
I had
she
plenty
told
of
me.
Room.
Well, I did research for this. So, like,
plus, the other thing is,
we're
talking Indiana, so she was lonelier. So that's it. People in Indiana are more welcoming to guests. Yay, a visitor.
Yeah. Oh,
Whereas,
absolutely.
But I'm totally on your side, though. If I have somebody visiting me here in LA, I do want to know the exit time. There's just too many people in my life that have no exit time.
Yeah.
That take everything casually. I'm coming. And then they're on
I don't
your
like
couch
that.
For like
Oh, yeah. No, I tell people, I'm like, oh, my house just burned down. And they're like, that seems like a lie. And I'm like, what?
I was staying there last night.
Yeah.
So you went and stayed with her for, but you're from there.
Yeah, I am. I'm from Northwest Indiana, like right outside of Chicago, and my cousin's in Bloomington, so I stayed there.
Okay, nice.
Much nicer.
Yeah.
Were you always wanted to do comedy, or did you do something else while you?
I didn't know I was going to get into comedy. I didn't have a clue. I always liked performing when I was a kid, and then my family's so blue collar. I was like, that's not like a real job. Like, I didn't think we grew up watching a lot of comedy, but I didn't think like Jerry Seinfeld worked towards being a comic. I thought he was just like anointed or something.
Did
like
you
the
have
pope.
A local well, comedy kind of. Club? Did you have like comedy?
No,
in your,
not in my town. Like in your, my town was just like a
city?
Bunch of dive bars.
Bunch of really. Dive bars, but no
yeah.
comedy.
Yeah,
my
parents actually owned one. They owned this little biker bar in my town.
Really?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So you went? Did you do drinks and stuff or like?
I mean, I
back?
Tried to bartend when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to bartend, and my mom's like, all right. And I was like 6 or 7, and they put me behind the bar, and then I started crying because I couldn't handle. It.
Oh really?
And that's how pressure? I've ended every job.
Was the guy? Did the guy from Rescue Bar show up?
No. A lot of guys from motorcycle gangs showed up.
Oh, okay,
yeah, right. Yeah. And are you allowed to do that in America? Can you have the kids hang out in the bar?
No, not
that's a big thing
all.
In England. In England, when you're a landlord, pub landlord or whatever, then the family's just hanging out. The kids are coloring in the corner.
It's different in small town
America. 2 feet away, or
like it's
are drinking.
Definitely illegal in Indiana. It's completely illegal. To have a child in a bar. And in Illinois, you can have kids in the bar, but they can't be like at the bar.
Yeah.
They can be like, even if it's just a bar, they can be in like a booth or something.
Yeah,
so my dad
smoking
would,
and all that.
Yeah, my dad
stuff.
Would
That's
like throw us
and,
in the car and drive across state line and then just have us sit in a booth quietly while
right.
he got hammered. So that was, you know.
That's pretty cool. Do you think that lends. Do you think that lends?
I don't know if that's pretty cool.
No. Growing up with having your parents own a bar is pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah. Not any of the fake things we were making up.
That wasn't
the actual reality of growing up in a bar. It must be pretty cool. Is that? Do you think that helps you like learn speaking skills and you know talking to people? And
yeah, I think it makes
stuff,
me not. It made me like not scared of people, really, of like different people that maybe like weren't very clean cut, and I think
perfect
it...
for the comedy circuit.
Yeah, just completely feral maniacs. I'm like, oh, this is fine. I know how to deal with you.
I want a career. I want a career getting paid peanuts dealing with people like this.
Yes.
It's gonna be awesome.
I love it. I think it made me easier. It makes it easier to deal with people that aren't clean cut, and also I'm just like I'm not scared of a lot.
So it was easier to then deal with JJ.
Yeah, because JJ's terrifying.
Yeah, it's me.
Not clean cut.
That's all you hear about.
I mean, the tattoos.
It's like,
my
holy
God.
Cow.
Tattoos, long hair.
Yeah. What were your worst nightmare?
Yeah.
We celebrated Francisco's birthday this weekend. It was at a tennis club, which is obviously his. What do you call it? Your wheelhouse.
See, that would make me... The reverse of that is that makes me really scared.
Yeah,
like, I'm so intimidated by, like, rich, like, upper-class people. I'm like, ah!
This is my point. We were in this tennis club. I had, like, a little... I did my best. I mm-hmm. did, because I tried to dress up.
Did you have, like, a cardigan tied around your neck?
It was supposed to dress preppy.
It was a Tommy Hilfiger shirt.
Amazing.
And I actually had a golf shirt, but it's not a real golf. It was a Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a gimmicky shirt of Shooter McGavin that I bought like 10 years ago and never wore. So that's what I broke out with it and light blue pants. I was very uncomfortable. I was extremely
uncomfortable. But you look good, right?
I miss my dive bar. That's what we are, though. I'm the dive bar and he's the tennis club.
Brian
was
too.
Of this relationship. And Brian was there as well.
He was also dressed up, too.
Yeah.
With his girlfriend.
We did our best.
I don't know if I have a prep outfit, but...
You already look preppy, man.
Do I?
Yeah, you look like any
you
kid that I went
Hitler
to private
youth,
school
so,
with.
So, I mean, that
that's fair. I know, with my hair,
you know, on
the,
yo, yeah.
You're like
absolutely.
The, you know, you're like the guy who, in The Sound of Music, who, like, you know...
The
Nazi.
You know, the thing with the, you know, the guy who, forget, that was his name.
He's not on camera right now, though, but he looks like a Nazi, is what Francisco is trying to say.
Oh, yeah, you don't even have a mic.
Cancel him. I'm kidding.
All right. Well, we've got an interviewing guest here, so you don't have to throw everything to Brian, Francisco.
He started talking more.
I can handle it.
So, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm always more comfortable in the dive bars, and you know, I tried to tell a few posh jokes and everything, but this is interesting to just grow up in those bars.
Yeah.
Because you must have had, if it's a dive bar type situation, you must have artist type people coming in and.
No.
There
was like
really?
No artists in our town. Everybody was like super blue collar, like lots of my I'm the only girl in my family and all the men in my family are iron workers.
So what are iron workers?
They building skyscrapers and bridges and stuff
like
and working in the steel
like
mill.
Those, pictures where you see like the guys sitting there having like
they're not coming to tennis clubs.
Nah.
They're not. They're not.
They build the tennis.
They're not your people, Francis.
Yeah. And so it was like a rough crew of people.
Wow. Right.
Coming through. So yeah, I had no idea I wanted to, I guess I loved performing, but I had no idea that's what I was going to go into. I was like, but realistically, okay, I have to go to college and do this. And I studied political science, and I thought, maybe I'll, be a lawyer or go into politics or something. And then,
but overall, was the main goal to get out of the town?
Get the fuck out of India.
But were they happy that you chose this? Or like,
No. They still seem like they're like lightly supportive. But like the minute I have a setback, if I'm like, I was really close to this job and I didn't get it, my dad's like, all right, I can get you into the electricians union. It's not too late. And I'm like, relax. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I know. It's funny how like parents don't understand, like, I mean, especially older, because my parents too, like, kind of like that older generation where they don't get the whole, like, this is like a job, a profession. They just don't understand it because it's not like the office hours or the worker hours and like the pension and the stuff
and
like
I'm
that.
I'm not clocking in. Yeah. And then my mom follows me on Instagram and she's like, it looks like you're relaxing an awful lot. And I am, because my job is fun as hell.
Of course. And also that's how we can become creative. I mean, we need that. That's what people don't think. Like, people don't realize. Like, I was doing a headlining gig in Corpus Christi, and there's people that I met there are like, they're from Venezuela, which is where I'm from. They're like, hey, you want to come after to our shows, or the day? And I'm like, nah, I got to prepare for my show. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, because they think it's like, you just go up there and perform. Yeah. I'm like, no, I have to like actually like think what I'm going to say or work on the new things.
Yeah.
And also be mentally prepared to do an hour, 2 hours of shows, So it's like.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. That's the harder thing to be on the road when we're at, I'll say our level, meaning like not Jim's level, like not famous, like not like famous like that. Yeah. It's the hardest thing is people everywhere you go, people just expect that you're gonna hang out with them and they
want
to suck up all your time and energy. And I'm like, I like to be social.
First of all, like, I just met
you. It feels
rude
to point that out.
Like, I don't know who, like, first of all, a lot of them are like, I just met you. Like, you're nice, but I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just, fucking hit me and then put me in the back of the trunk.
When we were in Florida, we were somewhere in Florida. And it was me, Amos, and Jim. We went to go see a fight after, I think it was Fort Lauderdale, after the show.
A fight?
And there was
oh, you mean like watch it on TV in a bar? It sounded like schoolyard shit. No. Like, this fight.
100% I would also roll up to that.
We're going out to the parking lot to watch the post Jim Jeffries fight.
And then I jumped in. It was wild. we went to go watch a fight, and there was a guy that was at the show who came over and to compliment us, and we were like, oh, thanks, and then just fucking stood there talking at us, like not even to us, was talking at us for like an hour, and we're all three of us are actively watching the TV, and the guy's just standing there continuing to talk, and I'm like, go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Stop. And we kept being like, all right, we'll have a good night, and it's just.
Some people don't have any, they don't have social cues.
Mm-mm.
Like I always like, I could, I mean, that's the thing, I think, of being a comic, I think, is we're hyper aware of that. I'm like, as soon as I start seeing people going like they just don't want to talk to me anymore, I'm like, all right, bye, like I'm not gonna but like some people don't get it. They're just like, I'm like, all right, when you start doing the nodding, like that's when like they don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
So like when I do a lot of nodding, people go like, so anyways, I'm like, oh, this motherfucker doesn't get it. Like, you gotta like keep, then you gotta like, sorry, I gotta go. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And sometimes they get fighty, especially with Jim. We've been in some incidents. In fact, we're going to Philadelphia next week, and one of the biggest ones in Philadelphia was with Jim, who was exhausted. It's like our third night in the row, and the man's doing 90 minutes on stage, which
Wait,
is
you're
still
going
exhausting.
Or you said you went?
We've got it next week. We've got Philadelphia and Buffalo. I'm leaving for Buffalo tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
But this guy came up in Philadelphia and starts talking and then wouldn't leave. And we keep going, well, thanks, mate, thanks. We're just exhausted from doing two shows and we just want to chill and have a beer. It's midnight. It's 12:30 at night. And we're just hanging, talking to each other. And he's standing there and he just stared at Jim for a little while. And then I once again went, look, hey, man, it's nice to meet you and everything. And then he just went like a fuck you, Jim Jeffries. You're not as nice off stage. And Jim's like, what the fuck? fuck did I do? Like, we're delivering a show to a couple thousand people, but it's very personal
to
other people.
We don't owe you our time. None of us do. I don't owe anybody my time. Everyone can fuck off.
Welcome to the Everyone Can Fuck Off podcast. Yeah, yeah. Man, we three arrogant comics just sitting here going, all right, look, we'll give
it's
you
not
some
arrogance,
time,
it's
just but
like, it's the just same,
fucking move on, will you?
But it's not arrogance. It's the same thing as like anybody that has a job and then they're like, after they're done with their job, and then somebody's be like, hey, let me hang out for you with an hour. I don't know who you are. And like, dude, I just got done working for 8 hours.
It's funny you say that because we're all exhausted by people that are like, tell me a joke. But like my cousin's husband's a doctor. And I'm like, hey, Kevin, is this a disease that I have? Like, can you look at this freckle? And he's like, get fucking health insurance. Yeah. And I'm like, literally, why would I get health insurance if I have proximity to you? Hello.
We do have those friends. I have a friend who knows how to put a TV up, and I wanted a TV mounted on my wall. So I kept having to hint to him, like, I'm ready to do this, man, but I could really use some professional advice. Because I know that if he was there.
Advice, that's the word.
He would do it perfect in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I know that I'll do it in 2 hours, but it'll be shit. It'll be slightly off. So I'm just kind of angling at my friend. And I'm like, but you know, he's the kind of friend that's never asked me for a joke off stage. He's never gone.
So
that's a tough one. But we're all very guilty of doing that.
Yeah, no, I think people they don't understand because our job is fun and it looks fun. We do it fun, so people don't think it as a job.
Yeah.
You know, and then when we're done and we just want to chill.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of time to do like that hour of you know, of jokes that we're doing. That's the whole preparation that takes a long time, and then so you don't want to like, you want to decompress after, you don't want to talk. You don't, because then you have to do another show. That's the thing.
Do you hear that, everybody at home? It looks like we're having fun, but we're actually dying inside.
Well,
and we need you to leave us alone after the show.
That's every kind of
we need you to clap and laugh and celebrate us and follow us and buy our merch and stream our albums and then
don't talk
absolutely
to us.
Shut the fuck up.
Shower us with support and affection, but don't try to talk to us for too long because we're actually socially awkward as fuck.
Stay away from me. Just give me your money and adulation and go on with your life.
That actually brings it perfect, perfectly full circle because it was meaning to ask you, in your escape from your parents and from Indiana, I'm going to assume that L.A. was your first move. Was that the big, I'm getting out, I'm going straight to L.A.?
Yeah,
or did you have to try a couple other spots?
It was my first move because I was just like, I'm very much a go big or go home person. And
go big or go,
There's no way I would have gone to a smaller market and then like worked my way up just because I'm too hard-headed. And also, like, I had an aunt here, so that felt safe. And it turns out she's a demon.
Like a natural demon?
I think so. I mean, I feel like if you go to a Catholic church enough times, you turn into a fucking demon. So,
I mean, I went to a Catholic church.
As did I.
I don't think I'm a demon.
I'm half a demon.
Demon for Christ.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I do kind of wish...
No, I don't have this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Demon for Christ. Practical empathy.
I do kind of wish I would have gone to New York, but I also didn't know. Like, I just moved out here for acting. Just kind of like, just the vague idea of acting.
So you didn't come for stand up?
No.
Like, nothing. It had nothing. It's just for acting.
I only started stand up for the street cred. I was like, I'll show people.
Wait,
I can do this.
The street cred to stand up?
Well, yeah. I mean, like.
I'm finding out about it.
You gotta cash in your chips, buddy.
Well, because I was doing Second City at the time. And,
improv.
Like, you know, improvisers are. Listen, I improvised for years and I will again.
You heard the way he said
so
that.
Corny.
You heard the way
I did improv.
Improv.
I did ground. That's how actually I moved to LA to do improv.
Yeah.
I didn't
really
stand up. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I did,
okay.
But I did the groundlings, which is harder.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough because it's like.
Because more characters.
We're better actors, though.
Comics, you mean?
Second City people.
Oh, Second City. Oh, look.
Well, that,
oh,
that
we got a throwdown here.
I'm just
here.
Trying to start beef with Francisco.
No. I mean, I wish I'd have taken more like Second City or something, more like improv than character stuff. And then maybe I could have moved to the character stuff.
Yeah,
I think,
I'm terrified of characters. I'm like, I don't want to.
We're stand-ups because often when you're a stand-up, you're working on yourself as a character so much for so long.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to ask you, can you pretend that you're from Texas all of a sudden? You're like,
I can't.
Oh, yeah, do you know how many years I've put into trying to be this person?
Yeah.
This slightly unique sounding weird person.
That and I don't even know, that
know
I'm
how to act,
this.
By the way.
Yeah. Huh? What's that? That's are you called, slagging me off behind my back again?
Because you're like, hey, can you pretend you're from Texas? Yeah, that's called acting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's acting.
I can't do it on the fly, though. If you give me a script, I could.
You
can't
do it on the fly?
I love my guns and stuff or whatever. You know, like, can't abort babies or whatever. I don't know.
Is that a Texas accent?
See, I can't rip. Yeah, that's my Texas accent.
Okay, got it. I can't abort. That's cool. So you don't.
Yeah,
so let's talk about abortion. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. I was doing Second City, and there was like a handful of people there that had done stand up, and they just seemed like cooler. They were like, yeah, I do stand up. And I was like, oh. All right, well, I'm going to fucking
was this
do
in a bringer, in a bar, like an open mic? You're like, whoa, these people look cool.
No, well, they would just like talk about it. They'd be like, yeah, I had a stand-up set last night. And you're like, oh. Okay, well, I was like clapping with strangers on a stage.
So. I was doing yes and.
Yeah, I was acting like a dog in front of people. So
right.
It definitely sounds better. And then I tried it and I was like, oh, this is it. Like it was the first time I did stand up. I was like, this is all I want to do. Forever.
What was your first time?
I don't even remember what the place was called. Some shitty little theater on Santa Monica. And it was like an audition for a sketch team. And they were like, can you prepare a monologue? And I was like, can I just do stand up instead? And they're like, okay. So I just used the audition as like an open mic kind of.
Yeah.
And then I started doing it from there.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And when you living here, is that your first little community of friends, or did you bring some friends with you?
Oh
from
no,
out of state
I moved here. There was this girl that I'd gone to high school with that I actively did not like, and
that's the one you moved here with, knowing that you can break up with her halfway through when you want your independence.
Well, because I thought, well, this is better than living with somebody off of Craigslist, and it wasn't. She was a full
a
demon. Full demon.
Well,
so what's with it? Yeah, like what's going on? I mean, maybe
she was the worst. And we lived together for like we moved in October and then we moved out in January. So we lived together for like 3 months, and then a serial killer was caught living in our building, and we both moved out, and she moved back home, and then I just moved.
Wait, a serial killer was living in your building?
Yep.
Like,
yep, like but, 2 hours down from
but
us.
Somebody that just like reformed serial killer, or he was on the loose?
Oh no, he was
just hanging
land.
Out.
Sorry,
stay out of the laundry room. Gary's down there. He's killed a few. And,
he was active at the time. He wasn't retired. He was active. He was
an active serial killer.
Yeah, yeah. It was the Van Nuys rapist.
And he was
rapist.
Living. Mm-hmm. That was his name, the Van Nuys.
But I don't think they knew it was him.
Yeah, no, we didn't know because he had moved in. Apparently,
how did he even move? Like, well, why did he get credit? Like, does he have a good credit as a serial killer? Like, how do you
he had a name in the news, so yeah.
How do you get
how do you get an apartment if you're a serial killer?
Well,
it's
not on your resume.
But wasn't he like police were looking for him?
No,
or?
The police were looking for him, but he had moved in with like a friend was living in that apartment, and he asked the guy, he's like, hey, can I stay here for a couple of nights? And the guy didn't know what he was up to. It was like they were like work friends.
By the
so
way, the friend when he got interviewed, he's like, that guy Garrett, he was a demon.
Probably. So, yeah. No, he was probably a cool guy to live with.
The serial killer?
Yeah. But when
he probably didn't bring his work home with him.
No, but what happened if
he's
like...
He did bring a little bit of a project because when they... When they arrested him in my building, his car was parked there and there was a woman's body in the back seat. Oh, so, but it was like rolled up in a rug. It wasn't like... It was tasteful.
So he was cleaning up after himself.
Yeah, exactly. It was wrapped up.
Wait, so how many people he killed?
I don't know. It was a handful. It was like
yeah. I mean,
it
has to be a serial. I mean, if it's a serial killer, he's gonna be
yeah.
A,
the
work to be
yeah.
So he got caught.
Yeah, he got caught. In my building.
But did you run into him like in the laundry room, like he was doing?
No, my roommate tried to pretend that she had talked to him, and I was like, no, you didn't. You were never. You were never here. You were at your boyfriend's house. You fucking idiot. But yeah, he. Hey, he got caught, and then my parents were like, move back home now. And I was like, with you psychos? No.
Oh, wow.
I'll stay here. Oh, yeah. And then like my roommate and I both moved out that night, and then like I think like a week later she was staying with her boyfriend, and then she went back to Indiana, and I just like stayed with friends for a while and then got another place.
You did the I'm gonna stay here for a little while, like you did with your cousin. the pandemic.
Yeah.
Seems you like to do that. Right?
I absolutely listen. If somebody's ever like, hey, you can stay with me, I will absolutely.
Yeah, no,
take
you're gonna
it.
Take
you
it for it, and you're gonna.
I mean, I've
it.
Done this.
You're gonna do a standard warranty.
A friend of mine was living in Tel Aviv for a while, and she's like, "You can stay with me," and I was like, "Great, just booked a ticket." And she's like, "Oh."
Oh, okay. Wow. So
a lot of the things that we do as polite, just to be polite, you take it seriously.
But I tell people, I will say, I'm giving you a chance to take it back because I will stay with you. So I just well,
that's still pressure that they often don't back down from, though. They're still like, no, seriously.
Yeah,
of course.
And then I'm like, great.
So have you ever gotten? have you gotten like people go like, look, you gotta go. Like, have you gotten that?
No. No, I'm so fun, and I'm really, I'm also like clean and respectful, and like if I stay at your place, I'll like buy you groceries or dinner or whatever.
And
you
you're definitely rolling the bodies up in a rug.
Or I might blow you. Depends on the circumstances.
Wow, all right, that's signing up for Airbnb right now.
Let's change it to other questions.
she rolls all the bodies up in carpets, keeps it nice and clean.
But what happens if it's a girl?
Still carpet?
Yeah, who knows?
No, that blow. Like, how do you go?
You can improvise. Oh, I've heard.
But
I think there's books
about
this stuff.
I think, or whatever they do. I don't know.
That's an easy solution for it.
That's on your Airbnb biog. Just a bunch of scissors at the end. And people are like, what the?
Because that's an easy solution for a guy, right? Like, you're like, look. It's like, look, you got to go. It's like, all right, fine. I'll stay 1 month. And then the next month comes, it's like, all right. But like a girl, be like, no, get the fuck. Or if it's a guy doing to
that's
another
funny.
Guy.
I did stay
know?
With one friend. You ready for this? I stayed with one friend for 7 months.
Whoa!
This is—I just went on vacation.
That's a lot
to
of blow.
You didn't like? Did you at least buy this friend dinner a couple times?
I'm sure I did. It was years ago. My friend was living in. She still lives in Manhattan, and she was like, "Come out!" And I went out for vacation, and then I just didn't come back to LA. I was like, "I like it here. I'll just stay."
So what happened to the dude?
Yeah, good work.
What happened to the dude that you were living for 7 months? Is this what happened? Sorry, I got
No, it was a woman. It's my friend.
Oh, it was that woman.
My friend Caitlin.
So you were living with her for 7 months.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, we both worked a ton, and she was doing stand-up at the time, so like we were almost never there except to sleep. And then she's since moved in with her husband in somewhere else in Manhattan. But her place is, I still have keys to her place, and whenever I go
in New York.
There, yeah, she still has her place. It's just empty, so it's.
So did you
like
offer her blowjobs to stay?
No, I didn't. I'm so rude.
Okay. So how did she like?
I did buy groceries.
Oh, because you weren't there.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Got it. Oh, nice. Well, good. Good to know. If you're ever coming, if you're inviting Lisa to your place, you know, just make sure that you ask for the blowjob first. Yeah. So you're from Indiana. What kind of like, I want to go back to like being like, you know, with your family. Because you say you're, how many brothers you have?
Three brothers. One younger,
and
two older.
Oh, okay. So you're like in the middle.
Yeah.
So like when you, did you, what kind of like holiday trips did you do as a family? Like
none,
when you were,
no, never.
Nothing really? To the, like no. the.
Because you couldn't leave the bar.
We didn't, yeah, well we didn't.
The other steel town, iron town.
We didn't, we're not a vacation-y kind of family, you know, like we wouldn't, there's no chance in hell we would ever have like a family reunion or anything. Like my brothers and I haven't all even been in the same place at the same time since like 1996.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, it's why, weird because, like,
but, and do you get along,
is it because of friends? Yeah. Like friends end it?
No, we get along. It's just we're just like an extremely emotionally cold family. Like I mean, like I saw my parents kiss on the lips once in my life, and like they're my parents and I like don't we hug each other now, but
that's
I mean,
like my family.
Until
well, my
a couple
side.
Years ago, I had only like hugged my parents like, a total of like four times between
yeah.
both of them. I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Mm.
No, but right. that's interesting because wow. my family, my mom's side is like that, very cold. Like my mom, we go like this, you know, mm-hmm. like we don't hug, or like my grandma was very like blunt. She would tell mm-hmm. you like, you look like shit, like right away. Like,
oh yeah,
like so like. My dad's side was the opposite, very like love, and so I would always feel uncomfortable when grandma would be like, my dad's, he's like, and I'd be like, ah, you know. But it was weird. It's like, but we were still very close, mm-hmm. you know. Like yeah. so, for you, you're not.
We're close, like wolves are close. Like I feel like if anything ever happened to myself or one of my brothers, the rest of us would be out for blood, like if somebody hurt one of us. Right. But we don't like talk on the phone much.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like we're not close like emotionally. It's like it's more of like a blood bond.
Do you think it's like a
that makes you'd sense? Always you'll always have each other's back.
Well, I think right. My dad's side of the family is Irish,
who's this
and
guy?
I think that that's part of it.
Yeah.
That they're very like, we don't hug around here, you fucking idiots,
yeah.
You know, like. And then my mom's family is just like, I think they want to be warm, but they're so weirded out by it. They're like, hi, and you could see them like almost want to hug you, and then they're like, oh, God.
So how does this transfer into your relationships?
Oh, I'm extremely touchy.
Yeah,
like
that makes sense.
I'm like very, very, very affectionate.
You're almost
and
rebelling
touchy.
Against your family.
Yeah, I think I'm making up for lost time. You know,
and for the rent.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I shouldn't have.
So
said
no
that.
Trips, nothing.
No, that's fine.
So you never made it, even like. I don't know. At least, did you go guys together as a family? I know to you know the Cheesecake Factory or something.
You're really reaching. You're really.
I mean, there's gotta be something.
Is there anything? No, they pretty much hung out in their dive bar all day. Because I imagine your parents like, just work a whole
Six Flags.
As long as
the
they're
fair,
as long as they're maintaining the bar, then they're paying less for staff. I know how that
yeah,
works.
Yeah, I mean, like and my the bar. My parents sold their part of the bar when I was like 7. It's still in my family.
Yeah.
But they sold it and they still in
they
it?
They sold their portion of it. And then they bought a marina. So then we were there. And then that was like our full-time life was being at the marina.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't really like every once in a while we would go out to dinner together. I mean, I can remember like a handful of times. I wouldn't say it was the most pleasant.
Wow, this is
we were not like go out as a family
yeah.
of people. That's just not what we did.
Wait, is Brian one of your brothers?
No.
Like,
he might be.
Yeah.
Is it Brian Curry or I think I mean part of it is like a not having money thing.
right.
But is it I was going to say is it like Succession but without the money? I don't know if you've seen that show. Succession.
Yeah, I've seen that show. We weren't even that close.
What?
Like, they're... they're
fuck
I,
up.
Yeah, that's just... Succession without the money. Yeah. Married with children or any kind of bitching and complaining
yeah.
amongst...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, so let's move on to you're traveling now and you're on the
mm-hmm.
road with Jim Jeffries.
Yeah.
And you and I rode together on the Jim Jeffries. That's how... Well, actually, we met in Britain. Did we meet in Britain or did we meet...
No, we met before that. We met
oh,
here
we
somewhere. And then you were in... I think you were in Ireland?
Right.
Were you? And then you popped over to
London,
and it was like just in time for my
that's
album
right.
recording.
You were,
and so you opened my album recording.
Yeah,
today.
Which was really fun. And
yeah,
a nice
and it was,
new venue
you
there.
Set it
when
up
was
so
this?
Well. It was really nice.
It was at Top Secret Comedy in London.
No, when?
It was just pre-pandemic. Wasn't
June
it?
2019.
Just, yeah,
oh, just
that, before yeah. the big shutdown. Can
yeah.
I say too that
yeah.
on the Jim Jefferies show? So I don't know if you remember this, but. When you joined, because writing for the Jim Jefferies show is, I mean, he's an edgy comic.
Uh-huh.
So there were some writers that didn't have the, you know, the, I don't know,
edginess.
What do you call it? Yeah, some edginess. Sometimes people need a job. I'm not going to argue that you need
yeah.
a job. And then sometimes people
and
pass.
Sometimes people need a blowjob.
Sometimes people need a blowjob, yes. But sometimes, in our industry, actually that's true
you
in our industry too. Sometimes people need a job, but sometimes people want the writing job or people want to write for Jim Jefferies or they want to write for that person. And that's, you can tell the difference. And Lisa came to us. She was in the running for a job and we had another writer instead. And that writer did not last because that writer immediately was like, oh my God, I can't handle the
mm-hmm.
Jim Jefferies world. And then we got to hire Lisa. And I don't know if you remember this, but you were paired with me on your first assignment.
Yes, I do remember.
And we
that.
Went. And do you remember?
And I was like, thank God.
And she cracked me up within 5 minutes, and I was like, this is the writer we were looking for. And
I remember
happy
I made a really
fun.
Horrifying
and
rape joke. And I don't remember
did.
What the joke was.
I very much do. Because I will never forget it. Because when somebody makes me laugh like that, I'm like, it's value to me right away. I'm
yeah.
like, I value this person now. They made one horrific joke that has touched my soul, and now I like them forever. So within 5 minutes, so we're there. And plus, I don't know if this is enough context, but the person who had just quit off of a weak joke that they tried to make offensive. And they were like, I'm offended at this because it's a rape. And it wasn't. And so.
Oh, I was told that afterwards.
And you were told this afterwards.
Like, yeah, maybe no rape jokes right now, because that's what. And I was like, that it was just like, because I was like completely unaware of this other situation, which I still. To be honest, I still try to be, because I'm like, I don't want to be involved, and you know.
Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah, who cares to think about the people that don't want to work with you? Yeah. Just worry about the people, or consider the people that do want to work with you. So that's very much when somebody's there. It's almost, I started calling them like writing tourists, because they just want a little credit on IMDb.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then they're out here, but then Lisa joins our staff, and then so it's all like, is she gonna be better than that last experiment that we have? And within 5 minutes, so we were writing about the Middle East, and they had been planning, they had passed a law that women. 16-year-old women were now allowed to go for their driver's license.
Oh, yeah.
And you simply went, but don't worry, fellas, rape is still legal. and I was like, all right, we got ourselves a comedy writer. That was a really beautiful moment.
Interesting that rape brought you guys together.
Yes, isn't it?
Doesn't rape bring everyone together?
Well, yeah, against their will, often, but still.
Found our promo.
Maybe not.
That's all right. I did say
I'm a big fan of affection.
That's true.
Wanted, unwanted. All right, we're going off the rails here. So
can't wait to be taken out of context. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, Brian's the one who clips about it, so purple. Brian's ready to take everything out of context. Well, I'm glad
this happens to me a lot.
Glad we got to discuss that. So that being said, let's move swiftly on then. So now you've joined the Jim Jefferies tour. Uh-huh. We're happy to have you aboard, and now you're seeing some of the biggest venues you've ever played. I know you were in Chicago Theater recently. Mm-hmm. When you're touring, now that you've been doing it for years, do you feel superstitious or anything? Do you have any good luck kind of charms when you're on the road?
Kind of. And this isn't like, it isn't like a strong superstition, but a friend of mine passed away a couple of years ago, and he was a comic, and I have his name on a necklace, and I don't wear it
is
as much anymore.
Yeah.
No, this is my name.
Oh. So he wasn't that big of a good of a friend.
Well, this, and I stopped wearing it just because these necklaces are recent additions and they're real gold, and the other necklace with his name was I couldn't afford to get it in real gold.
What does it say?
Oh, it says Lisa in Arabic.
Because I was just Dubai?
Yeah.
That's a typical thing that when comers go to the Dubai for like a gig, they're like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, well,
I'll probably do that if I go.
It was, you know, it was a better story though, because there was a woman named Lisa at my show, and I complimented this necklace. I was like, oh, this is a beautiful necklace. And she's like, oh, my name's Lisa. It says Lisa. And I was like, oh, cool. And then that was it. And then the next day I went on a boat ride, and she happened to be friends with the boat captain, and so she was on the boat ride, and then we were talking, and she's like, hey, since you're going back, I'll just sell this to you for less than I got it for, and I'll get a new one. And I was like,
you fell for that scam.
That's lucky. Yeah.
No, she did get a new one.
By the way, I know Arabic, and that doesn't say
it does. I've already looked into it.
Chicken soup.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. She does that for everybody. It's like, oh yeah, your name is
she's just
Judy. Yeah, this is what Judy. She's just selling. That's a great scam. I'm from Venezuela, so I know how the scam works.
Yeah,
that's a perfect scam. Actually, you get that, and then you go into the boat. Because also, she gets the money. She's giving some to the boat captain.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Venezuela, we were roasting him at his birthday party. And a lot of the roasters. Venezuela was frequently the punchline. Mm-hmm. As we were talking to him afterwards, we're like, there's all of his friends and family from Venezuela are there, and all the comedians are like, there's really diminishing returns on the Venezuela and stuff. And Francis is like, because they're all from Venezuela. So they're just
really
watching
funny.
Us be mean about Venezuela.
Should have brought more into the personal stuff. But so
I don't wear it anymore.
But that's
it
your
looks
sentiment.
Janky next to these necklaces, but
right.
But I do bring it with me because it feels, and I'll usually have it in my pocket when I do the big gigs.
Nice.
I know, that's so corny.
In your pockets.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you stick your hand in your pocket?
Yeah.
No, I'm just like, okay. Well, you're.
I'll bring
with
my baseball that because my dad loved baseball, so I have a baseball that I bring with me. I mean, I'm, you know, with me just to, but yeah, so.
That's sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's not, then, you know, it's good. It's not like, it's just more like, yeah, sentimental, kind of have it there.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a weapon when you need it.
True.
Yeah.
It could be also working
yeah, yeah, you never know.
Yeah. But then you do, so you, but about, what about like any, you know, superstitious or anything like that? Like, do you wear your favorite shirt or like, or you like?
No, I pretty much wear the same thing over and over because A, it's just way easier to pack. And it's like, you know, there's a handful of things that I'm like, I know I feel good in this and I know I look good in it. So I'll just wear that on stage.
So the same type of clothes?
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much the same thing. Okay. Every single night.
Not 10 of the same outfit in your closet.
Yeah, no.
You go home,
it's just like just... I just wear like a, what the fuck is it? A bodysuit and jeans and heels. And
a bodysuit?
Yeah.
Like
bodysuit
Catwoman?
Is like a, it's like a shirt that like snaps at the crotch so it's always tucked in so it always looks good, you know? And then you, and
yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
yeah.
under jeans.
No,
so.
Yeah, I know. I'm,
because like a shirt
I
will
watch,
come untucked.
I watch RuPaul's Drag Race with my. Fiance, so I know what a
so
body
you know
suit.
What a
yeah,
body suit
a lot,
is
a lot of tucking too.
Okay.
But okay, so okay, got it.
Yeah, because then I'm like, well, I don't need to worry about this moving around, or like I find it extremely distracting when somebody's on stage and they keep like moving their clothes around, and I just never want that. Like
it,
you know,
it sometimes works.
Wear whatever.
Look at what was his name?
Oh,
Rodney Dangerfield?
That was like a was a like a bit though. It was
yeah.
like it was like.
But
it,
yeah, I mean, but
I'm
like,
uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know, Justin.
Everyone has that bad impersonation.
But
of,
you like if you see somebody on stage and like their clothes don't quite fit right and they're like pulling their shirt down and like it's like what am I? What are you doing? Just get a fucking new shirt, man. You know, I'll give you one. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. And now that we've broached that subject, so now that you're...
body suits?
No, like the superstitions and like being on the road and unpacking for the... But yes, now that we've broached body suits... No, we're on the same team here. We don't...
you're in the body suit team.
When you're opening for Jim, have you found that... Because we go on, so when we open for Jim, we go on without... it's not a lot of fanfare. There's no music or nothing. It's just kind of.
No.
It's the most uphill battle of the.
Wait, they don't bring in a little. Music?
No, you just get announced to the side. Yeah. Welcome to the stage. One of Jim's
openers.
Somebody
comes to the edge of the curtain. You're in a wheelbarrow, and they just kind of shove
you. Just go. Here's this.
They don't. They don't give you any credits.
No.
No. I mean, they can say something when you come on, but overall, it's a big uphill. You know, we're warming up.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I've just summed everything up in the question. Mm-hmm. But my question was, are you noticing the difference in like doing a club set and now to going on before thousands of people that are waiting for Jim Jeffries? Have you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you notice that difference immediately, but I don't mind going up with no music. Back to the biker bar thing. I like the harder gigs because like if a gig is easy
Wait,
and
a
the
theater
crowd's
gig
really,
is hard.
I mean, going out cold is hard, or like a shitty bar gig where people are rowdy.
That's hard.
I really love those gigs. I mean, the theaters aren't hard.
Yeah,
it feels a little weird going out. The Beacon felt kind of hard because I went out first, and it had just started pouring down rain, and they were keeping everybody outside to check their vax cards, and most people didn't have umbrellas because it didn't rain all day.
Right.
And so people were walking in and just like, ugh, and they were like so mad and like shaking off. And it was like.
And they were sitting down.
Like six people are paying attention to me in this whole room right now, you know? And so that felt tough. But it didn't feel bad, if that makes sense. I was just like, oh, I'm like working.
Yeah.
But I enjoy that.
Yeah.
That's a job.
Yeah, it's always good when you win them over. I mean, you're right. Theater gigs, of course, they're not the hardest, but it's harder when you win them over, then it's great. As soon
and
as
my
you
brain
hit that
is
first
broken,
joke.
So if I'm doing like if I'm on like a show with a hot crowd and I'm doing really well, I'm like, fucking these people don't know what they're laughing at. A bunch of fucking idiots, not even smart.
So it goes stupid. Back to not being big of your emotion, not emotional.
Yeah, exactly.
Family.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And how did you enjoy touring Britain? How often have you been over there now?
You're like, how do you, so, because I never been or perform in Britain, like, but you, how do you, what's the difference?
I love it. The crowds are smarter.
They're smart.
Sorry, people in the U.S. They just are. And they're more engaged and they're more, they're, I feel, and I don't know if you feel this way as well, JJ, my impression is that everyone in the United States, I think people here don't pay attention as much, or they don't respect you as much as a performer, because everyone here thinks, oh, I could do that. Where it seems that sentiment doesn't exist nearly as much, if really at all. I haven't really noticed in the UK. Like, I have never had somebody in the UK come up to me afterwards and be like, yeah, I always thought I could do this. Mm-hmm. Not once.
Yeah.
Here, all the time.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It's not, I feel like stand-up people definitely look at it a different way.
They respect it.
Comedy is well-respected in
Britain.
Yeah, they
see it more like, I think.
And it is the art form. It is the be-all and all art form.
It's like going to see a play, and then people don't go like, I can't do that.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
same
I do.
With stand-up.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I more often here, and I'm telling people, I almost had to clarify with them before, because sometimes when they're like, we're coming out to support you, and I'm like, I don't, please don't come out to support me. Come out if you enjoy stand-up comedy and you want to have a night out watching stand-up comedy. But only
okay, fine, JJ, I won't go.
Well, exactly, yeah.
No, but
well,
support,
I think that's my
but support
point.
Is probably the one like, I just support you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but I want you to come because you enjoy stand-up comedy, right? And not, and I never had to say that in Britain to people, because people like that night out and they like the art form. They respect it as an art form. Whereas here, when people are
you're
like,
saying like
here,
like,
we're
like
trying
oh,
to
I'm
help
doing,
you because you're
going to
make it someday. Like, oh, I hope
it's
you're good.
It feels
more
like
a
pity
chore.
Thing.
Yeah, and like, I don't enjoy stand-up comedy, but I'm coming to wish you good luck. Good luck, person on stage or whatever. I'm like, we don't need.
You know what's funny? When I did the Chicago theater, my brothers couldn't make it out. They had to work. And one of my brothers was like, I'm going to buy a bunch of tickets, though, you know, to support. And I was like, no, don't.
No,
they're not
going to be
show
up.
Because we don't want empty seats. Yeah. And he's like, well, maybe if I buy some tickets, like, you know, then you'll get paid more. And I was like,
no,
I won't.
Yeah, that's also an untruth. We're
save
all
your money.
Yeah, I always tell people when they go, like, they're like, hey, I want to come see you. Like in New York, we're doing that. I was doing for the festival right now, like this past month. And I was inviting people, and they're like, yeah, just come. It's like, no, so I'll buy tickets. Like, no, don't worry. It's not going to matter if I'll get you in for free. Like, chill out. Like, it's not going to matter.
See, I have such a complex. Yeah.
If you get them in for free, you feel like you've gained money. Because you feel like I'm not getting paid a lot to do this, but the fact that I can get you free tickets, that's like I just made another $90.
I think I have so much guilt just because I'm the newest one. I'm the newest opener with Jim.
I'll
ask for a couple of comps, but I always try to like promote the shit out of it and sell more tickets than I get comps. And somewhere I've done that.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
so how did you get
myself.
Picked as an opener for Jim?
Being dope.
Yeah. Being dope.
Was there like a audition?
Well, it was probably she wrote on the Jim Jefferies show. So Jim,
I feel like
knew
I did well
and
on
stuff,
the show.
And yeah, so it was just an extension of. You know, but
I don't know. I didn't ask. Like, he just reached out to me and asked, and I was like, oh, yeah.
But these guest passes, don't you guys find too, when it comes to giving guests, are you always worried about them? Because it's always the guests that haven't paid for tickets that can be the most reckless, like backstage or even in the crowd. They're the ones like yelling or whatever.
Oh, I'm not worried about that. What makes me panic is like, if I'm like, hey, I got you a couple comps, they're at will call. Inevitably. 2 minutes before showtime, somebody be like, hey, I'm looking for where do I park?
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
The line for will call's long. Can you? And I'm like, you fucking figure it out. I got you the tickets.
Yeah,
this isn't my problem.
Yeah.
But I'm too nice to say that, but I start like internally melting down. I'm like, fuck. What is your problem?
No, but it's true. It's very like, they're like, look, it's like, you figure it out. Like, I got you the tickets.
Yeah, this
you know,
isn't my responsibility.
Like, I mean, get here earlier, find out. I mean, like, you're not a 5 years old. You know?
Yeah.
Your job's done when you get the tickets. It's over. You don't have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah, that's it. You're fucking welcome.
Yeah.
So you said you've been to England to perform. Have you been other places to perform?
I went in 2019. I was overseas for 2 months.
You were to stay with a friend over there?
I did stay with a friend. Wait, do you know Christine Rose?
I don't.
She's she writes for Jimmy Carr and Mock the Week and all that stuff.
Oh, really?
I stayed with her for I stayed with her for a month, but I didn't stay with her for a month because I was in, like, she was, it was just like kind of my hub.
She was
like
your home base.
She was my home base. So I'd stay there for a few nights and then I would go to Berlin for a week and then I'd come back for a night and then I'd be in Amsterdam. So it was just somewhere to keep like my big suitcase, basically.
Those are the best friends.
Yeah.
These little home base hubs that we can leave.
But we're then, counting like, on you. Her place
people
was like,
that take our suitcases.
Her place was under construction the whole time, which was an unexpected thing.
But were you performing in those places or were you just going to visit?
Oh, no, I was performing. Oh, okay. I did 51 shows in 8 weeks in 9 countries, which I'm pretty proud of.
How'd you get all that?
I just booked it.
Yeah, but okay. But it was like, so it was like different clubs or theater?
Yeah, different clubs. Well, there's this festival in Wales that I do called MacFest. So I had that, and then I had that was in May, and then I had my album recording in June, and then I had a show for the troops like at the end of June. And so I just kind of booked everything around that and just filled in all the dates. So it was like I had a headlining show in every city, but then nights off I would just book spots because I'm a maniac. And like, I mean, like we did the Chicago theater and I flew in the morning so I could do an afternoon show in Chicago.
Oh, wow. Really? Like, Zanies or something?
No. What's it called? It's a really cool one. It's at the Green Mill and it's like, you know, the Green Mill, Brian. It's every Saturday, or it's like the first Saturday of the month or something. Shit, I forgot what it's called. It's so fun, but it's all topical, so you have to write that week. You have to write your set.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's a variety show, so they have like a band, and they have like an improv show. And,
well, that's fun.
So they had me as the stand-up. But
I just say, when you talk about the home base thing, because I just want to send a shout-out to Ed Byrne and Glenn Wool, who are my home base in Britain. And I did this with Glenn Wool, with my buddy Glenn Wool. I left a big suitcase in his shed. He had this little shed at the back of his garden. And I would go there like once a week, even if he was on the road, you know, or if there was nobody home. I knew where my supplies were. And I would just go in and replenish out of my big suitcase and then go disappear into Britain for another week.
So you were like a raccoon.
That's basically the best way to play the road in Britain, I think, or maybe anywhere. Yeah. Maybe anywhere is just as a raccoon. Yeah.
Well, because when you're there, it's so easy and cheap. I mean, I think it was like $50 to fly to Berlin, you know, and then it was like a train ride to Amsterdam. And it was so easy, but I'm like, I'm not taking
fucking
luggage
everywhere. Well, you got it, because when I went to Italy, like, this past month, that's the annoying part when you're carrying the big ass suitcase.
And it's like,
in the train.
You know, I'm a woman, so I have to have like a certain amount of luggage on me at all times.
Me too. I also have the same kind of luggage like you. So.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you're bringing a baseball, and I'm assuming home base.
I'm just
wondering,
but I actually put a lot of
product. He's got to have a bag for all his product. There was a lot of roast
like
jokes.
Uncle Jesse.
There was a lot of Venezuelan oil in Francisco's hair.
Yeah.
Jokes.
So, yeah,
I'm sure. That was a frequently frequent callback.
Paper Machete. That's what it's called. It's an excellent show.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, so then out of all these places that you went to, which one did you like to perform the best in terms of like in Europe, you know?
In Europe?
Or you could say here in the U.S. too.
Amsterdam was a lot of fun.
Yeah? Why?
Amsterdam was so fun. I mean, the crowds were great. The city's great. They love comedy. They understood comedy.
And are these people that are like from Amsterdam that speak English, or just are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they learn a lot of their English from TV. A lot of them talk.
Well, all of them in Europe, everybody knows like 3 languages at least.
Yeah.
But in Europe, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So
I would say my
in Holland, they learn a lot off the Simpsons.
Oh yeah.
So when they're talking to you after shows, they always want to make Simpsons references.
Really?
Yeah. Like, because I remember talking to guys about Halloween, because none of them hadn't experienced Halloween the way they're showing it in America and the way it is on The Simpsons. So they just wanted to talk to me like for hours about like what is this, and I'm trying to explain Halloween to
demons.
It's basically demons.
yeah
But so Amsterdam was the one.
Amsterdam out of Europe, yeah. And then probably from the UK, I really love Wales, but I that town that I did the festival in, I'm known there, so
you're
like
a celebrity.
I'm a celebrity when I come here, because I was
the
first.
Are you more popular than Catherine Zeta-Jones?
over there? I don't know. They haven't talked about
maybe
her.
Not in Wales,
so I don't know.
That's what I was saying, because she's from Wales. Yeah. But like, oh, so why? You did a, how long have you, is that the first festival you did? Or
no, it was, I was the first American to do the festival. Oh. And it's like, it's a good fest. Do you know MacFest? It's
don't.
Like a lead up to Edinburgh, but it's a curated festival, so you have to be asked to get in.
Right in.
I'm just going to keep looking to camera like that.
Yeah.
Just doing my shitty little smile.
Well, there's a few of those. I always recommend those to people who are, some people just want to go and do Edinburgh, which is like the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 4 weekends.
There's a billion
a month,
festivals
and there's
from
so
like
many nice,
April through July.
Yeah.
Just
that,
do those.
That are nice and shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you can have little short runs and
well,
test
that,
your
and it's also
shows.
Like you don't want to. I think I'm going to do, I'm planning to do Edinburgh next year, but just for like a couple of weeks and like split a venue with a friend because
right.
I don't think I'm ready to have like an hour there because I'm like, again,
yeah.
with my big go big or go home, I don't want to just do Edinburgh to say I did it. I want to like
yeah.
go and clean up.
It's
you know?
Good to save your first hour
yeah.
for, because that is the one that press will come to and stuff when you do Edinburgh. I think mm-hmm. I've mentioned
yeah,
that to you before,
me, yeah.
but you got to do split. It's a smart thing to do, I think.
Yeah.
Do a split bill first. Network, basically.
Yeah,
spend the month.
Absolutely.
Spend the month just doing your job and networking, and then the next year you take your 1 hour, you know,
yeah,
this is
exactly.
me kind of thing when you have already met people. So yeah, that's
yeah.
a really smart. That's
and
a smart
and what made you decide, because not usually, like, you know, comics that start in the U.S. like go to Europe
mm-hmm.
or to perform. What made you decided to perform over there, you know?
Well, I went over there first in 2018, and my friend Maria Shahada, you who I don't
yeah,
know if
know
you
her.
Remember, but you met her after the
oh, yeah.
album recording.
Yeah.
She had moved over there a handful of years ago and was loving it. And I love to travel. And I was like, again, she was like, come stay with me. And I was like, got it. I'll be there.
Oh, man.
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Not say those words to Lisa.
Well, it was a combination of that. And then I had also MacFest in my beloved festival.
By the way, I can see. Let me do a. I think I'm going to do like a quick. What is it called? Like a. Reenactment of like when people ask her to Lisa to stay over, you know, like ask me to stay over, ask me to like, hey, you wanna, right. yeah, like you're like to
hey.
Nova Scotia or something.
Hey, you want to stay over tonight?
No, like in, that's weird, bro. Like that's
we're already in the bedroom.
What
we're
a
already,
serial
yeah.
killer.
Well,
no, like just be like, hey, I'm gonna go.
Francisco's
I mean,
like, this is going terribly.
Yeah,
well.
I'm in Nova Scotia.
Hey. This is a lot of lead up.
I mean,
no, I'm gonna. Hey, man, you want to come and stay with me in Nova Scotia?
Yes. Yes, I will.
I take it back.
Because usually it's like this. Like if somebody asks you, you go like, when somebody tells me, "Hey, you want to come? And you can come to Spain.
Yeah.
You know, go
yeah.
to Madrid." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, okay." That's what you do. But you go like, "Yeah, yeah."
Yeah, no, I
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I'll stay in touch with people that I meet once for a decade, and then I'll show up at their house. I'll be like, here for that offer.
Oh, you're making me realize the times I've done that in my life, because I think I have. I think I've used my naive Canadianness. But
it.
I feel like when I first moved to Britain, I did. Because
yeah.
people did that, and
yeah.
I would go, oh, okay, because I was just
yeah.
20 years old, you know, with a spark
yeah,
I'm,
in my
I'm
eye.
I'm the opposite.
Dream,
I'm not. Right. I don't like staying, unless I know you real well, I don't like.
Oh,
staying in people's
see
house.
This is
but
the beauty of having a broken home
yeah.
is like everywhere is so much better than home always.
No.
Yeah.
I like no first of all if I can stay by myself I'll stay by myself
yeah.
I prefer to pay a hotel
yeah.
but if I'm staying at somebody it's gotta be somebody that's like I know and yeah I'm
yeah.
always staying there for like a couple of, I mean as
but
long
in
as
the days before see I don't know what the American comedy circuit is like but definitely when you're lower level in the British comedy circuit,
yeah,
there's
you
days
stay
where you're
people.
Staying with people who you don't know that well.
Yeah, no.
I'm still
does
like
that
split.
Never happen in America? Is it
well, I
general?
Never
yeah.
did it, and I would not have done it. That's not my style. I
right.
don't like it.
Well,
like,
I don't
like staying
and
with
I don't
people
have any
that I don't
that's
know.
Why you're tennis clubs and I'm dive bars.
Yeah.
We should have called this podcast
exactly.
tennis clubs and dive bars with JJ and Francisco.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I like to have my independence. No, but like...
Yeah, it was very pretty and clean.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, so the first time I went over there when I did MacFest, I found it and then I reached out to the guy who books it. Do you Henry? I can't think of his last name. His brother's I can't think of how to pronounce
Winkler.
His last name is what I should say.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. His brother's a comic. But he runs MacFest, and I reached out, and I was like, hey, I'd love to do the festival. And he's like, oh, so sorry. It's a curated festival. Like, but right. How did you find us? And I was like, I just replied. I was like, Google. And then I sent my press kit. Yeah. And then he wrote back to me. He was like, actually, I love your stuff. Do you want to do the festival? And I was like, fuck nice. Yeah. So that's why. That's
like,
that's
you
why
should have been like, well, that's very curated.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What a hair trigger stuff. Response well, like, to people reaching out from around the world, yeah. Actually. Actually, yeah. we're curating this festival that you've never heard of and just lucked upon. We're curating.
And then it's like, all right, fine. I like your stuff. Like,
I don't. The problem is, I also don't accept no as an answer in that, like, in that capacity. In Henry's
actually,
really lovely.
No means no. Yeah. Means, I don't know if you know this. I mean,
no means try once more.
Nope. No means no.
In business, no means come back tomorrow.
In everything, no
means not yet.
No means, hold on a second, let me gather my thoughts.
Yeah.
No means, we're curated.
No means, we're having a discussion yeah. here. Yeah. We're figuring this out. Yeah. It's going to be okay.
But, and then, like, of all these places that you've been to, like, is there anything, any customs or anything stuff that you're like, oh, I wish people would do it here?
I wish people were smarter here. I wish people gave a shit about.
We have that, by the way. I laugh because we had. I think we had other people say that, right?
Have we had? Well, I mean, I'm sure we have, but
yeah, I think other guests have said.
I wish people cared more about everyone else around them, which is something that I think exists
like
more in smaller countries.
Practicing radical empathy.
Well, not that's pump the brakes, okay? That's not that much.
that's
but just like smaller countries, people seem to give more
well,
of a
you
shit.
You know
about
why
other.
Is it? Because I mean, my reason is that, or my theory is mm-hmm. that the other countries like. In Europe or even Latin America or stuff like that, all those countries have gone through stuff in their history, mm-hmm. like
yeah,
wars
absolutely.
Or famines or yeah. you know viruses or whatever. So you like when you go through struggles, you yeah. know that you have to like, oh, I have to do this. Fine, I'll do it. And it's not about my freedom or whatever. I just gotta survive. Mm-hmm. But here, the U.S. has never, since the beginning of the country, I mean, besides the Civil War, and nobody has been alive yeah. because of that. They haven't gone through any of that. Like the World yeah. War I's, World War II's, they weren't here. It was in Europe.
Exactly.
So like nobody here has lived through any mm-hmm. of that. So when you tell somebody, do this, so like that's why I feel like it's harder for people to have that mindset
well,
of like.
Well, that and there's
you know,
also yeah. like, I mean, just like our politics are set up to, and like socially, everything is like, it's all about you and look out for you and look out for number one. And I think that things like us not having healthcare, I think that feeds into it because it's like, just look out for you and your own health and fuck everyone else. And if they get health care, they get it. And if they die, it's because they were too poor to live
yeah,
and fuck
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
You know, we're in other countries, like, you know, you talk to people about health care.
Yeah.
And they're horrified. They're mm-hmm. like, what?
Yeah.
It's how expensive? And it's like, oh, no, they're charging like $500 for a Band-Aid if you
yeah.
go to the emergency room. And it's crazy. Yeah. And all government
yeah.
buildings should be on fire right now. I'm so mad about healthcare here. Can you tell?
Yeah,
I mean, especially
well, yeah,
like
no,
once you
too.
When somebody that yeah, like you travel and you see how it is in like in the Europe, for example,
yeah.
because that's how it's supposed to. Be. I think to me that's the in mostly in Europe, in those countries, how it's supposed to
yeah.
be healthcare, where
yeah.
it's like everybody or Canada, you know, like
yeah, well, everywhere in the Western world except for America has basically partially
well in
at
the
least
U.S.
Partially
in Venezuela, for
medicine.
Example, like I mean, it's not there is public. Hospitals and stuff like that, but it's over there. It's because it's so poor or corrupt that there's mm-hmm. no enough, you know, like the,
yeah.
there's no, you know, equipment or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah.
also bad too. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So it's like,
oh yeah.
But so then if you have money, then yeah, you have the stuff. But
yeah,
you know, the poor people, then it's like
yeah.
But it should be
yeah.
like how in Europe, like it's like oh,
yeah. No,
Canada.
When I say Western world, I didn't. Count
okay,
Venezuela.
Sorry. Okay,
sorry.
Whoa.
I've heard that Venezuela's had a few problems. They're not generally in the G8.
When you said Western world, you meant United States and Canada.
Western general European.
I meant the
heritage.
Wealthier Westernized. Nations with their socialized
lighter.
Medicine and their and their sympathy for another human being. And yeah. But basically, yeah. Well, America's the only really capitalistic medical system.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I don't like, yeah. you know, people here are always like, America's number one. And it's like, get the fuck out of the country for just like a little while. Just take
yeah.
a little vacation. And that's another thing. I mean, there's a lot I would bring over.
Yeah.
you know, and another one is like curiosity for travel and other cultures and stuff where we, I think, overwhelmingly do not have that.
Yeah, that's
funny, too, to go back to your earlier point about stand-up's more appreciated as an art form in places like Britain. And I think that comes down to it, too, because you can embark on the pursuit of an art knowing that you have some health care and, you know, so you can afford to take these risks and stuff with your life. It's an adventure getting into the arts. And I think that allows artists to be appreciated more.
Yeah.
Whereas here,
that, and
it's
also like public transportation. Like if it only costs you like, you know, $100 a month to get everywhere you need to go, you can get so much. I'm spending $200 a month on fucking gas. That's like not even my car breaking down. Or flying all over the country to do gigs. Like if you're based in London, you can get everywhere for so cheap.
And trains and. That is true. I mean, I think that when I went right now to Italy, I mean, just so easy to just go anywhere, transport.
Yeah,
you know,
and
then here
it's
like
oh,
so
how
hard.
Are people so relaxed there? Well, they don't have to be on edge because they're not like, how the fuck am I going to survive this week, you know?
Yes, yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that I say. I think it's like traveling. That's why, I mean, one of the reasons that we do this podcast is because, traveling to me is so important. And I think that should be done since when you're little, you know, like if you have a family, just, you know, don't travel around your place, but also travel internationally because that's how you learn, you know, how other cultures, and you get smarter and you get more, oh, okay, people do it. And then you can compare and you're like, oh, I like this one, but I also like this, you know, like, and you can see that it's not just one person or one country does it. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody is fine. People do it like here, and it's fine as people do it here, and you can live the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I always feel that way too about American. Like when we're talking about healthcare, if you're talking with an American who wants to toe the freedom line and the no, we're the best, then they always have the one thing that's wrong with other healthcare. So if you say Britain or the best one is Canada. If you go healthcare in Canada is really great, and they go, oh, there's a lot of waiting. There's waiting. You have to wait all the time. I'm like, yes, that's one of the bad things. That's one of the downsides. But you don't have to have everything about it. You can be as American as fuck and just take the best things of everything. Like take Canadian healthcare, but without waiting. Have a pay to expedite option if you want. It's America. But they always just list the bad things. Like healthcare in Britain is really good. Oh, but the weather sucks. So who cares?
Yeah. It drives me insane too when I hear that. Like, ooh, you gotta wait. I have to book my gynecologist 6 months out. Is that not fucking waiting?
Right, that's the same
Is that
thing.
Not waiting?
Yeah.
And that's just for a checkup. With like, that's not a true thing.
Thank God gynecology isn't considered an emergency.
Well, for the most part, yeah.
I also
if everything's
have to book
going
my
well.
Gynecologist for 6 months, by the way.
Yeah.
I've never been. I've neglected it.
Yeah.
Well, no, but it is true. That's still the same weight. That's the same weight. You know. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna go on a specialist day, they go like, "Yeah, he's booked for 3 months." It's like
people, Americans are so fucking brainwashed. Sorry to like go on this rant, but like they're so fucking brainwashed to think that like we're the best and we have all the best and we've been given all the best that they will actively be like shit on and they ignore it. You know, like.
Well, but that's how you control population.
Yeah, we're
I mean,
a cult.
That's
America is a cult.
But I mean, that's been done since the beginning of time.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That's how you like make everybody not feel like you said. It's like you make them this, and then you don't see how you're getting.
We're being gaslit every day by the government. It's great. It's cool.
that is true.
I love it.
Being expensively gaslit right now.
Yeah.
Amazing. I was wondering where Brian disappeared to for a while. Lisa, you've been amazing. We've gone over time. We just got our 5 minute warning about 15 minutes too late.
Oh, I'm glad that I ended it just screaming about politics.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, our show is not about politics anyway. So I was the whole time I was like, no, we're talking socially. This is a social.
Yeah.
We haven't gone after any particular. But we do have one final question that we always love to ask our guests when they're on. And it is simply this. Do you have one piece of travel advice that you like to hand on to people when you're chatting to them?
Pack light and be polite. And I didn't mean for
that
to rhyme.
Wait, what is it?
It rhymes.
But
what'd you say?
I said pack light and be polite. Oh, and nice. I didn't mean for that to be a thing.
Is this your merch?
But everybody's so cranky when they travel. You're fucking flying through the sky. Have a little appreciation for it, okay? Yeah. And calm down. Nobody else wants to be on that plane either. We would all like to be flying private all the time. So just fucking check yourself. And don't ever take your shoes off on a plane, you creeps.
Oh, yeah, that's I don't like
no.
that. That's
international, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
You got a 16
Well, you got to be business class.
Yeah, I don't want to see any poor feet.
Oh, you definitely
okay?
have to have socks on.
With just their bare feet, putting them through the in between the seats.
No. I'll cut your foot
that's
off.
That's disgusting.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a long flight and you gotta, like, you know, but yeah, especially.
I always wear fresh socks, and if it's a long flight, I mind my own business.
Yeah.
Wait, so you take off your shoes?
If it's a long flight, and I always do
What's
window
a long
seats.
Flight?
A long flight, 5 hours.
Now that's going to New York. That's disgusting.
Yeah, well, fuck you then. I'm wearing clean socks. I take my shoes off for that long. Especially my feet have injuries. So.
Ew. So I'm sitting next to you. You're taking your shoes off.
I'm not taking my socks off.
Yeah, Francisco is so uptight. I can't believe.
Yeah, he's really wound tight, isn't he? He's just.
But
yeah,
I mean,
dude.
I
if I have
smell.
Fresh socks,
still
you
smell.
Don't smell. You don't smell nothing. Yeah. I smell gorgeous.
No, you don't.
I smell like honey. I smell like honey when I have dreadlocks. And I smell gorgeous now.
Oh,
yeah, you know
you have
dreadlocks, right?
In fact, when I take my shoes off, there's usually an announcement on the plane. For some reason, the plane just got better smelling, ladies
and
gentlemen.
It's like when you experience
I don't
know trauma, my brain just keeps blocking it out. And then people are like, remember JJ had dreadlocks? And I'm like, oh, no, again?
He used to open for Sugar Ray.
They were very popular.
Did you really?
No.
You said they were really popular. I was like, are you serious?
Sugar Ray and my dreadlocks were both very popular for a 6-month window in roughly circa 2004.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty awesome. They were awesome. I miss them all the time. You know, just like
Mark McGrath. We should have him in the podcast.
Okay, I'll drop him a line since I opened for him, apparently. So.
Yeah.
Huh? Like, what could he possibly be doing?
I know
right
what I mean.
Like,
he'll want this.
Yeah. Tell him I've got a place for him to stay.
Yeah. Pack light and be polite. I like that it rhymes.
Yeah.
It's ready to go on little buttons and badges now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then where people can find you, you know, besides their house.
Yeah.
Besides their couch.
So mad about this. Besides their own home.
And ladies and gentlemen, you've heard what she offers in return.
Please find me on Instagram at Olympian Lisa Curry.
Olympian? Why
Olympian? Because there's an Olympic gold medalist named Lisa Curry, and she took our name, so I took Olympian.
Oh, the Australian.
The Australian lady. Yes. And we are roughly the same. Like, she's like 10 years on me.
What sport?
15. Swimming. I was a swimmer, too.
Oh, you're a swimmer.
Yeah, yes. And she has blonde hair. Yeah,
probably just as much money in amateur Olympics as there is in the roof of stand-up comedy.
Yeah, she wasn't like Olympics?
Oh, she wasn't.
I think.
Okay. Well,
I think
amateur
she was
sport.
Like regular Olympics.
Okay.
She's a
well,
gold medalist.
Well, that's,
like
no, those
one.
Are amateurs.
Yeah.
If you're in the Olympics, you're an amateur.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Now,
yeah, you get money if you win and sponsor.
Yeah,
right.
Sponsorships
I wasn't
like
following.
That, so.
I was like, what? There's another Olympics that perhaps I could get into?
Oh, yeah, we can.
There's another one, but I'm not going to say.
Let's go.
No one can mention it, everyone.
Comedy Store parking lot Olympics. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, so Olympian Lisa Curry. So I can.
Shotgun and beer.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then if you have any other gig coming up?
Nothing on the calendar right now.
Well, you're opening for Jim for a few shows.
I'm opening for Jim.
I
do keep my website updated because I'm a boomer. So lisacurry.net and all my dates are on
.net?
There.
.net?
Yeah.
Oh,
I couldn't get .com. There's a million Lisa's Curry. There's so many of us. That's why I'm Olympian Lisa Curry. And on Venmo.
Yeah. I'm .net as well.
.net?
Yeah, because somebody bought all my .coms. Somebody bought all the JJWhitehead.coms thinking I would buy them off of them.
Oh, yeah. Somebody offered mine back to me for $2,000, and I was like, stick it up
your
dick.
So like, do you know what I fucking do for a living? I got the same thing. I got this dude. He bought JJWhitehead.com, and then I got a 10 grand email.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, no, thanks, man. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then I got a $2,000 one, and I was like, nah, mate, I'm not interested. And he kept going down. Eventually, he was down to $200, and I was still going, fuck off.
I already bought that .NET. Yeah.
Isn't that bad for when he starts going down as your career? You know, like, he's like, all right, fine, I'll give you $1. you want the guy to be like, all right, fine. Okay.
And he's sticking in that extra, like, I was at your show last night. Yeah. Just take it. Take it. Take the .com.
I'll pay you for it. Fuck, I want.
I mean, please take care of yourself. Oh man, hey really Lisa, funny. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much for
having
me.
Very much for coming to hang out with us.
Yes, thanks for coming, and and go catch her at Jim Jefferies' show at Olympian. Lisa Curry.
Both of us. The Jim Jefferies Moist Tour is happening now. It's been going for about a month. We're about a month in, but we still got like tons of dates. I'm off to do Buffalo and stuff this weekend. We'll be doing dates together next year.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
And also remember to subscribe onto the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Do it. Click the button. There you go.
Hello.
See ya.